prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the 18th chapter of Genesis, we hear, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? We know, O Lord, that life is filled with challenges and obstacles and tunnels that seem to have no light at the end of them. Yet hearing your word, we know that you are with us, and there is nothing too hard for us to accomplish with your assistance. So guide us this week with our doubts, knowing that all things are possible with your help. In your holy name we pray. Amen."
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lauger, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, McKenna, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from Jefferson, Senator from Clay, Senator from Polk, Senator from Andrew.
We're working on the noise. You have a quorum.
A quorum is present. The Senate is now in session, and before we ask to read the journal, we note that the ringing noise, we're working on it, trying to eradicate it. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 44th day, Monday, April 8th, 2013.
Mr. President.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with, the same be approved as open, fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those aye. To the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests, and the chair would note an introduction, our former colleague, much beloved former Senator Betty Sims. To my left and your right, let's welcome Senator Sims back to the Missouri Senate. The chair has another introduction to make, and that is a group to my left and on your right. And I'll ask that the Senator from Lewis join me in this introduction. They're his constituents. The Senator from Lewis, we have University of Missouri Extension Excel Leadership Class from Randolph County, accompanied by our good friend Sam Richardson. I knew you'd want to join with me in that introduction, and I got it set up before you came in the chamber.
I appreciate that, Mr. President. You're right. I think this is a very dedicated group of young individuals, Sam included, that we need to make very welcome in the state Senate chambers here today. If
we are working to eradicate that sound.
That would be greatly appreciated also.
Senator from the 5th was seeking recognition.
Mr. President, introduction of special guest.
We are on that order of business, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, Mr. President, I have the pleasure of introducing to this body the prestigious Silver Air Patrol. All of them are constituents of someone in this chamber. They're here visiting the Capitol for Silver Air Patrol Day, Aviation Day as we call it. The Silver Air Patrol is the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force and is a non-for-profit organization with more than 61,000 members nationwide. It performs 90% of continental U.S. inland search and rescue missions as tasked by the Air Force Rescue Coordination Center. Its volunteers also perform homeland security, disaster relief, counter-drug missions at the request of federal, state, and local agencies. The members play a leading role in aerospace education and serve as members to more than 26,000 young people currently participating in the CAP cadet programs. Mr. President, I would like to have the body join me in saluting the leaders of tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. President.
These guests from the Civil Air Patrol, please rise. Please stand up for recognition by the Missouri Senate. We are delighted to have these public servants and fine young people with us. In fact, all of our guests. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to introduce a special guest. On your right, as you probably saw, my wife, Patty, the highest maintenance woman in the state of Missouri. And she's very proud of that. Next to the senator from Cole's wife, who was trying to get that past my wife. Also, we have Gwen Delano from Joplin, who's my legislative assistant. Paula Baker with Freeman Hospital System. She's the CEO of Freeman Systems in Southwest Missouri. Sharon B. Shores, she is very prominent in the arts with several governors. She's also with the Liggett and Platt Corporation of Carthage. Jane Cage, she's from Joplin. She's also the lady that is in charge of the rebuilding of the of city of Joplin after what happened several years ago. Jane Lant, of course, the wife of Representative Lant, and Nancy Morton, who's on the historic preservation of the state of Missouri and also the city of Joplin. We would ask the Senate to make them feel welcome, and thanks for your consideration.
Let's give a special welcome to all these guests of the senator from Newton up from Joplin. Senator from the 7th.
A moment of personal privilege.
Senator from the 7th will be heard on a point of personal privilege. Let's have some quiet in here.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on Friday, it was my distinct honor and pleasure, along with the senator from the 4th, to travel to the Boot Heel to visit the senator from the 25th. He was our host for the day. We had an opportunity to visit many manufacturing facilities. We got to go down to some of the poorest parts of Caruthersville and see the good work that the senator from the 25th is doing. It was a great day. We were not Republicans and Democrats. We were just colleagues working together to better his people and his constituent. And I just wanted to thank him for a great afternoon and what a wonderful job he's doing for his constituents. And I would encourage anybody in this body that have a chance to go down and visit him in the Boot Heel to take that opportunity to do so. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. May the chair inquire of you. Did he take you to Holcomb to get some ribs at Strawberry?
We did Strawberry, and it was
great.
Now, I'll tell you what, as a senator from Kansas City who has the world-renowned barbecue, I can tell you it was pretty darn good.
They stack up pretty well.
Pretty well.
Senator from the 14th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some very special guests here today. You introduced one of our former senators from St. Louis County, who is a good friend and very talented. I want to say today she has brought some incredible young students here, Girls Inc. We have several students who are here today who I would like to recognize and welcome. Mariah Moore, Ayana King, Dominique Lewis, Gabrielle Brown, Jamoni Richardson, Laura Brown, Brianna Parker, Symphony Hollis, Amy Davis, Montia Evans, Taylor Brown, Taylor Oden, Maya Brown, Trinity Smith, Darian, hopefully I'm saying it correctly, Smith, Aaliyah Spearman, Jordan Williams, Kayla Payne, Essence Green. If the body would please welcome these young, bright students to our state senate, that would be wonderful.
Let's all give a special welcome to these fine young people with Girls Inc. From St. Louis.
And Mr. President, I would like to make four of these students pages for the day: Aaliyah Spearman, Darian Smith, Taylor Oden, and Montia Evans.
The young people will be made pages for the day to serve at compensation to be paid by the senator from the 14th. and we're delighted with all our guests being here. Further introductions, Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your left and my right, standing up on the against the wall is some good friends of mine from back home, actually Keith Stevens, his wife Beverly, and also a lady from Lincoln, Missouri, Beth Kratz. And currently he is the president of my hometown Cattlemen's Association, where I'm associated with, and I would just appreciate the body make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Polk to the Missouri Senate. Further introductions, Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, to speak on a point of personal privilege.
Senator will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have a guest to introduce, but yesterday I distributed to my colleagues a handout regarding the windfall that hospitals will make under Medicaid expansion. It's a timely topic because the governor came and spoke to the Republican Senate caucus this morning, and so I wanted to go over this handout just a little bit. Basically, the point of the handout was to show how hospitals in Missouri are paid for the various services they provide. Under Medicare, they pretty much get what they charge. Now, I will freely admit that the distribution that I've drawn on the handout has some inaccuracy in it, but it was the best data available. Under Medicaid, they also get paid what they spend. Now, the real point of the handout is to expose the cost shift, which is the amount that we all pay under our insurance plans through our premium that pays for the uninsured, and also to reveal that hospitals made a net revenue of $871 million in 2010, just 2 years ago. Under the proposed exchange, which will occur even without the Medicaid expansion, hospitals stand to gain about $1 billion of net revenue. And we keep hearing about how they're going to lose DSH, they're going to lose DSH, which, by the way, in the first year is only reduced by $26 million. But nobody talks about the huge windfall that hospitals will make. Even without Medicaid expansion, they will take in on the order of $1 billion of increased revenue just for providing the very care that they're providing now. And if you think, well, that number is going to get bigger because we'll be providing more services, then I have to point out the hospital profit will be even higher. And if we add on the Medicaid expansion to this, hospitals will have a windfall of between $2 and $2.5 billion for providing the very care that they provide now. Now, the governor came and talked to us. Mr. President, if I could get you to bang the gavel just to get a little order. The governor came and talked to us, and he basically said that, you know, we need to do this for a variety of reasons. And one of the things that he talked about was market-based reforms. And I have to say that there is only one possible way, and only one way, that a Medicaid expansion could make any sense. And that would be if we recognize the perverse nature of this payment system and put in place factors that would allow it to come down through market reforms. And in 2008, we tried to do this with a program called Insure Missouri. I believe it was sponsored by our pro tem at the time. And the hospitals refused to accept the proposal simply because it didn't eliminate, but it only reformed the Certificate of Need program. All we asked for was some reforms to inject a little bit more competition into the system. And they rejected it, even though hospitals would have profited to the extent of $100 million a year. They said no. So now, here we have a situation where the hospitals are set to benefit by $2 billion from the new health care law if we do Medicaid expansion. And do you honestly think that if we ask them to put market reforms, serious market reforms, to put competition into the healthcare system, getting rid of the CON, putting transformation into the marketplace that would bring down the cost for everyone and, in fact, lower the cost that we pay under the Medicare, Medicaid, and private pay programs? Do you think they will agree to that? I think not. But I'm saying this to the governor right now. If you want a Medicaid expansion, that is at a minimum what has to happen. There has to be true competition injected into the marketplace, or it will never work. And you will see obscene money grabs, such as the one exposed by this handout. And it will not work. Thank you, Mr. President.
We are currently on introduction of guests. Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
I require the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I appreciate your hard work in educating the caucus on this very important matter. I have a question for you. Is it the case that most hospitals are organized as non-for-profits? I don't know that for a fact, but I'm asking you that question because of your knowledge in this field.
Most hospitals are.
And what is it that they do that, I mean, you know, they are registered as non-for-profits? Is that because of the charitable care that they provide, that this idea that whoever shows up at their emergency room has to be provided for? Is that the primary basis of their non-for-profit status?
I don't think so. I think what more it is that, is that they're by being not-for-profit, they don't have to pay property tax, they don't have to pay income tax. It just basically it's a service that the state of Missouri at one point in time said, you know, these kind of entities exist for the public good and not for the benefit of shareholders, therefore they should be not-for-profit, because they are helping the public. We're going to give them a competitive advantage by not making them pay taxes, is how I see it.
Okay, very good. And then your work shows that they actually, even as not-for-profits, they've registered very dramatic profits, in fact.
Well,
they have, right?
It's the word profit. You might call it income over expense.
Okay.
But the bottom line of it is that they are already getting paid for what they do. They already make $871 million net profit as an entity, I mean, as an industry. And so now, if we pay them on top of that, without reducing the cost shift, they're getting paid double. And nobody's talking about this. This is an important, important fact that when the hospitals claim that they're losing DSH, they never mention that they're getting this double payment, which they are going to get.
Well, Senator, I appreciate you making that clear to all of us, and thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are currently on introduction of guests. Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I have to apologize because I heard the words transparency and the fact that you're saying that hospitals are going to be making a lot of money, and you were talking about Medicaid expansion. I'm trying to figure out, I didn't listen to the first part of what you were stating, but are you talking about the ACA?
I'm talking about the uninsured population is two groups. There's the group above 138%, which will go through the exchange and get tax credits. And by getting the tax credits, they will be purchasing insurance on the exchange, which will pay hospitals
that
at commercial rates.
They can choose, pick and choose. I'm trying to figure out where there's no transparency in the ACA, because as long as I've been studying, there's plenty of transparency. And secondly, ACA is incredible in the way that it allows consumers to shop around and figure out which plan they are most suitable for. So I'm trying, and then when it comes to hospitals, a lot of their information is online and readily available, because I've seen it for myself. So I understand what you're talking about. You know, you are definitely a good, colleague of mine. We agree on a lot of things and disagree on a lot. But when I heard the words no transparency, all of what I've read and what I have talked about and what I've seen and what I have studied has been complete transparency.
Okay, Senator, we're talking about different transparency.
Okay, I'm just making sure because, we're very sensitive. We have a very short time frame where we can deal with Medicaid expansion. And I know it's being not talked about to the degree it should in both chambers. Anytime someone talks about ACA and Medicaid expansion, I just want to make sure ultimately that my constituents are taken care of. We're going to experience a complete devastation. In terms of hospitals, I know that SSM alone throughout the state, and I think you have a facility in your district, is going to be losing $356 million.
They haven't told you how much money they're going to make through the exchange.
You and I both know that our health liability as a state is increasing. So they're going to be having to cover a lot more people. And if we have a segment of the population that is not being taken care of, and by the way, I just thought about this weekend, they're just not from my district, they're from your districts too. So there are going to be a lot of people who don't have this opportunity. And I just hope that we have a full and clear discussion about this. It's very important to our constituents throughout the state, not just some of our districts. But when you just said transparency and accountability and all that, I just wanted to make sure I threw in my two cents and get clarification on what you were talking about.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
We are on introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, we have some students with us from Greenwood Laboratory School in Springfield. They're with their teacher, Marilyn Broadus, and there's 20 students and 20 parents from the fourth grade class, and I've had the opportunity to be on the Greenwood campus, and I can attest that these students can probably put their minds together and solve the healthcare crisis, and I just welcome them to the body today and ask that the Missouri Senate make them feel welcome.
Would all the guests of the Senate from Green, who are, by the way, wearing green T-shirts, please stand up and let's welcome them to the Capitol. Thanks for coming and have a great day. Further introduction of guests. Senator from the 14th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some very special guests who are in the Capitol today. I only have one representative from Express Scripts right now, who is to my right and to your left, representing Express Scripts from St. Louis County in my district. If the body will please welcome our one person from Express Scripts, that would be such a delight.
That's great. Thanks for coming to the Capitol. We appreciate you being here today. The chair would like to welcome two folks that are here with the Missouri Banker Target Bankers today. That's Gene Hansen with Citizens Bank and Trust from Kansas City and Bill Owen with the Bank of Bolivar. Would they please wave and let's welcome them here. Thanks for coming. Further introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
Send the resolution forward, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am sending it forward. I request the reading in the journal be waived, and I ask that it be printed. Mr. President, this...
Seeing no objection, the reading of the journal will be waived.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think you will
reading
pay
of the resolution will be waived. Proceed.
I think you will pay particular attention to this resolution, Mr. President. You'll find of interest. This is for the silver-haired...
Staff members are not allowed to be on the other side of the door. I would ask that he please obey the rules. And, Senator, please make sure that your staff member obeys the rules. I'm sorry. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I like to see you point out people who break the rules because you are such a go-getter of keeping the rules intact, Mr. President.
Thank you. Proceed.
Right. The silver-haired legislature, Mr. President, once again is requiring to use the chamber. Silver-haired legislature is a great organization here in Missouri. They have used the Senate chambers many times. This particular request is for October the 10th, and on Thursday and on Friday, October the 11th of 2013. This is a tradition we've had over the last several years, dozens of years to my recollection, and that we would like to let them be able to use the Senate chambers. And Mr. President, if you have silver hair, I understand, that could be a qualification for you in your next line of duty. Mr. President, I would now request unanimous consent of the Senate that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking the resolution up for adoption.
You've heard the motion. Seeing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move the resolution be adopted.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted that resolution. Thank you, Senator. Further resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of Senate bills for perfection. I would ask you to recognize the Senator from the 15th on Senate Bill 159.
Senator, the informal calendar, Senate bills for perfection, Senate Bill 159, the Senator from the 15th, Senate Bill 159.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 159 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Currently, there is an adoption motion for a Senate committee substitute that is pending. I have a four sub that I'd like to send forward.
Send the substitute forward, please.
It has been distributed, Mr. President. I would ask for a waiver of the reading, and I'll explain it. It's not a big change, but I'd be happy to explain it.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain the Senate substitute? And you have moved for the adoption of that, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So just to bring everybody up to speed, yesterday we brought the bill up that would allow currently physical therapy visits are treated as specialties. Under Missouri law, you're required in order to see a physical therapist to have a prescription to go do so. We talked a little bit, the Senator from Barry pointed out too that typically after surgeries or any kind of injury, the ability to finish that prescription for physical therapy really leads to better health outcomes and prevents those more critical care situations down the road. And so we want to make that more affordable. And so the intent of this bill is to have parity for that primary care visit, whether it's the copay or the co-insurance amount, for that also to apply to the physical therapy visit. The Senator from Buchanan inquired of me, and we went through, we laid the bill over, went back to my office, and how the Senate is supposed to operate. I think we hashed out some language that I think he's okay with that does primarily one thing that's important. It more clearly defines that the co-pays will be the same, but that the co-insurance percentage will be the same, and it's a more finely tuned language that I think could work. And with that, Mr. President, I would renew my motion for the adoption. Be willing to answer any questions.
The Senator from the 15th moved the adoption of the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 159. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
To speak on the Senate substitute briefly.
I
would, first of all, just like to thank the Senator from the 15th for working with me to fix some minor problems with the language. I think it's a better bill. And I still think that we didn't slow it down in reality, since it'll still get third read on Thursday, hopefully. So just thank you very much for that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get some clarification. I wasn't here yesterday, and I'm afraid to tell you why.
Well, I won't.
Why?
Why?
Because I was at the Royals home opener, and they won, and the Cardinals lost, and I didn't want to.
They did lose.
You know, I don't want to bring that up to
you. Well, you shouldn't, because the Cardinals won a World Series.
Fair enough. Recently. But we had a good day. So,
but I'm glad you got to go to the game.
So this is, I guess my first question is, what would be the objection to having the same percentages for a physical therapist? And I got to tell you where I am on the issue. I had back surgery 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and physical therapy made me better, which made me not have to go back to other doctors, which made me save money on my health insurance.
Right.
You know, so overall, physical therapy actually is a savings for the insurance companies in the first place. So I've never really understood why the percentages would be different.
Well, I think the fact that it has been categorized as a specialty on your insurance card. You know, anytime you're trying to change something, people's antennas go up. And to the credit of obviously the physical therapists have been very involved in this, and this is that we've been working on this for the last couple of years. And to the credit of the insurance companies and having worked this bill through the process, I think I don't want to overstate it, but I think they're very comfortable with this language to a large degree, and I think they understand, like everyone understands, that ultimately, if people are following through on their physical therapy visits after an event like you had happen, that is a better health outcome. And I think
it's a better health outcome, and it's a cheaper outcome.
Right, exactly. And what you don't want to have is that physical therapy copay be a barrier to that.
Right.
Because you'll get a prescription for 4 or 5 weeks, 2 or 3 times a week. You know, when that physical therapy copay is 50, 60 bucks.
Right.
For folks, you know, working folks, that's challenging sometimes.
Well, I appreciate the bill because I think we don't want that barrier to people's health, to people's cost, to all that. So I appreciate the bill. I guess I'm curious about the senator from Buchanan's change that you ended up doing with
the
floor. He's got a lot of expertise, so I admire his knowledge. So I'm wondering how we made it better based on his.
Well, it was a couple issues. One is the term office visit in there. We worked through that. We just, I think, wanted to be comfortable that the physical therapy visit was being billed as a typical office visit. And then the other issue, which I think is important, we weren't trying to say that if the copay is $20 for a physical therapy visit, that the co-insurance could only be $20. We just want parity. So whatever that insurance co-insurance percentage is for the primary care, we want the same percentage for physical therapy.
Right.
Whatever the copay is for primary care, we want the same copay.
Because they could be different, clearly different procedures and everything,
yeah,
different costs.
10 or 20% of a $100 visit. We just wanted to have parity, and I think we were able to accomplish that.
Well, thank you for your work on this. And,
thanks.
And you can hear me, the senator from Buchanan, thank you for their work. And I'm sorry I missed it yesterday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator Urea will recognize the close. The senator moves the adoption of the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 159. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 15th.
President, I now move for the bill as amended by the Senate substitute to be declared perfected and order printed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from the 15th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 15th renews his motion that Senate Bill number 159 be declared perfected and order printed. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and order printed. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to our business of Senate bills for perfection. I ask you to recognize the Senator from the 8th on Senate Bill 252.
Seeing no objection, we will stay on that informal calendar, Senate Bill 252, the Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 252 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I now move to adopt the Senate committee substitute, and I have a Senate substitute and would like to send it forward.
Send the amendment forward.
And I move for its adoption. It has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver.
Senator, that is a floor substitute or Senate substitute. It is not a Senate committee substitute. So,
right.
So this is a Senate substitute. So
I move the adoption of Senate substitute.
Okay.
Mr. President, this is the Department of Revenue bill that we have talked about a few times on the floor but haven't had a chance to bring it up. And what this bill is doing, basically last summer, My office found out that the Department of Revenue was starting to scan source documents, which are birth certificates and other things that you take in to verify who you are, and then they were creating a database to put these source documents in. That raised a red flag to me and my staff, and we created this bill to start to address that problem. Earlier in session, after the committee hearing, we found that we were not being told all the information from the different departments, or Department of Revenue, and that raised some more flags, and there was a subpoena issued for some documentation. But to get to the heart of this bill, what this bill is primarily doing is it's stopping Department of Revenue from scanning and saving these source documents. I believe it's a privacy issue. I believe that there's been other states' Department of Revenue databases hacked into, and if you reach in and grab somebody else's birth certificate, you can all of a sudden become that person, and you can get credit cards. It's a privacy issue. I think it's the wrong thing to do. This bill addresses that and says the Department of Revenue cannot keep these source documents. In fact, it takes them and makes them go back and eliminate and purge their databases of all these source documents. I know that there are several amendments out there, and we're going to get into talking a little bit about letting the Department of Revenue have a database of concealed carry. I think that's something else that is important, and we're going to have a discussion on that. I know there's an amendment already distributed, so I'll wait and kind of talk about that as we get closer to that time. With that, I'll be glad to answer questions.
Senator from the 8th has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute to Senate Bill number 252. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barton, you are first on your feet. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. I'd like to send it forward, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading. It has been distributed.
Send your amendment forward. Seeing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Mr. President, I have a amendment to the amendment. I'd like to send that forward.
Please send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed, Senator?
It has not been distributed. I'd ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, when the amendment reaches the dais, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment Number 1, offered by Senator Emery, amend Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute Senate Bill Number 252, page 1, line 2, by inserting at the end of said line the following, quote, further amend lines 4-7 of the title by striking all of said lines and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, licenses issued by the Department of Revenue with an emergency clause for certain sections, end quote, and end quote.
Senator, would you like to explain this amendment?
Mr. President, when my original amendment was drafted, it was a mistake in the drafting of the change in the title, and this just corrects the oversight in the original amendment so that the title now is correct and is consistent with the rest of the amendment, with the original amendment.
So are you moving for the adoption, Senator?
Adoption of the amendment to the amendment.
Thank you. Senator from Barton has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1, Senate Substitute for Senate Bill Number 252. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you rise?
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Barton.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to an inquiry.
Gladly.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. So I'm just trying to get a good picture of where we are.
Sure.
And just to refresh my memory, this came up. I have to tell you, I didn't put too much effort into this until this past weekend when I've heard conversations about this bill. So when did the original language pass when was the original legislation passed that dealt with what you're trying to deal with right now? Was it in the last couple of years?
Well, we had a Real ID Act. I think it was in 2009 that it passed the General Assembly. But this, and it kind of stopped them from doing this, but they thought the reason why the Department of Revenue thinks they can collect the birth certificates and other source documents is they say it's part of the application. And in fact, the federal government requires that to be done on the CDLs. the commercial driver's license. That's a federal program, and we exempt them from this part of the law because we want to make sure we're in compliance with the federal law. So I think that they thought because the CDLs required it, they should do it on for everybody else's driver's license. And that's not what the intent of the legislature was with the Real ID Act and keeping these documents. So now I'm not all knowledgeable on the Real ID Act. I do know that I don't like somebody else. Too many people having my birth certificate because it's a.
Well, I agree with you on that point. But what I want to get to and what I was really concerned about is the report that when whatever this bill was in 2008 or 9. When it was being discussed in committee, it was actually cited in committee that they talked about the fact that they would be taking this information. When I heard that report, then I became a little bit alarmed because the conversation that we are having is that the department did something wrong. And from the information that I have gotten and now received is that this was actually what you're trying to clear up in this bill was already stated in committee when this bill was being considered originally. So I just want to make that point because two reasons. One, I think that we, and this is new for me this year and I'm telling everybody this, we need to be very, very careful when we are considering certain pieces of legislation. A good example of that is the charter school legislation we passed last year, and I have now found two mistakes that should not have been made in last year's legislation, and we're going to have to do cleanup just on that legislation by itself. And I just, you know, I am not the one who knows everything because I don't. I'm not going to even pretend. And that's why you and I have worked together and other senators and myself, we work together on multiple pieces of legislation. But we need to remember that we have to go through all aspects of this legislation, either stuff that was passed when we were still in the House or whatever we're considering here. But when I heard that report that it was already cited in committee when this original language was passed, when I heard that it was stated that they can keep this information and document this information, I was just alarmed. I mean, for that to be said, and, you know, I'm not going to question, like, KMOX or KWMU or Channel 4 in St. Louis, but when I heard those reports, that meant that some of us aren't doing our job. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, that statement was made on the floor, that it had been talked about in committee. And I don't know what that committee was. I don't know who sat on that committee. You know, I don't remember that. But, you know, because that was a long time ago. But, you know, it was stated. So I just wanted to make that known. But thank you. And
I appreciate it, Senator.
I look forward to working with you in other things. Now tell me what... do you know about this amendment that the senator from Barton has?
I vaguely understand the amendment, and I think he'd be a better person if you want to get to technical details. I support his amendment.
I'm now asking other senators what their thoughts are because I want to have a balanced perspective. But thank you, Senator. I just wanted to make that statement.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 14th.
I'd like to inquire of the senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry? He does. Proceed.
Senator, I know that you had it read. Are you going to have this language distributed, or do you want to hand me back a copy if you have an extra copy, or maybe you can explain it?
Well, Senator, all that does is correct a mistype in the title change that was in the underlying amendment. So we decided rather than redistribute the entire amendment, we would just do an amendment to the amendment, which fixes the title so that this language does fit on the senator from the 8th. He and I have talked about this. I'm in full support of the legislation that he's working on, and it was definitely to talk to him carefully before I wanted to offer this on that legislation, and we were in full agreement that this did fit and it was an appropriate address of the concealed carry permit process.
I'm trying to give you your amendment back, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
That's the only copy. Well, I do you understand what my concerns are with the senator from the 8th? You were here in 2008 or 9, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
So, and I know that I was both of us were very passionate about the issue on two different sides. But what my concern is when I heard those reports that it had been stated in committee that this information can be taken, it's completely opposite of what has been stated on this floor. So, I mean, I missed it as well. Maybe I don't know who was on that committee then, but just so I want to make the point that it was already talked about in committee. This is nothing new. In our committees, there's information that's given to us. I actually have a document for every single committee hearing that we have on the committees that I sit on, and there are things that I write out so that I know what piques my interest on any given bill that I'm considering. So, you know, I don't know who on our end, who the ranking member was on the House side. Maybe they heard it. Maybe they're still here. I don't know if they heard it or not. But it has been stated again and again on this floor that this is something we didn't know about. And when I heard the reports that it was stated in committee, that was just of concern. But I fully understand what you're trying to do. I agree with what the senator from the 8th is trying to do. But just that one particular thing stood out.
Sure.
And I wanted to talk about it. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan was first on the speak. What purpose do you rise?
Thank you. To inquire the Senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield?
Well,
he does. Proceed.
Okay. I'm trying to follow exactly what's going on here. The Senate substitute contains 302.065, and the amendment that has your name on the top of it,
yes.
This is yours, right?
That's correct.
It says removing a provision from 302.065, but there is no 302.065 in your amendment, so I'm trying to figure out exactly.
Well, which one are you looking at, Senator?
We're on the
amendment to the amendment.
Oh, okay. You're on the amendment.
Right. Now, the actual underlying amendment is 02S, I think. Just a minute.
Okay. I think I'm just having trouble following the structure of the way this the underlying Senate amendment goes. So,
okay.
Anyway, thank you. While you work on that, I'll continue to try to figure this out.
And I'd be happy to.
Thank you, Mr. President.
On the inquiry.
Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire the Senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I know we're on the amendment to the amendment and you're doing some technical stuff, right. But I'm trying to understand just the underlying amendment.
Sure.
So what does this do?
Fundamentally, Senator, and if you want to go to pages 24 and 25 in that amendment, that's the substance of the amendment. What my amendment does is it moves the concealed carry permitting process from the Department of Revenue into the county, each individual county. So
okay.
Every county it'll be fully contained in that county.
So currently, you have to go to your sheriff.
That's right.
And they give you a certificate?
Or police chief in a
police
St.
chief,
Louis,
okay. To those folks. And then they give you a certificate. Then you go to the Department of Revenue.
No, the Department of Revenue is not involved in this process.
What about the current process?
Today,
to the sheriff.
Right.
Then you go to the Department of Revenue, and on your driver's license they put you have concealed carry.
Or they make you a new permit, right.
Okay, and then that's your proof of your...
That's your CCW,
okay.
Right.
And what you're trying to do is remove Department of Revenue from that, and then will they have something else to show that they have a concealed carry permit? Or
Right. There will still be a certificate that's issued. I think
okay.
We call it. I think we actually changed the what we called it to a permit. We'll issue a, the sheriff's
will be
department.
The, will be the same permit. Document that they give now.
It could be, and it very likely will be, but we don't specify that it has to be exactly the same document in the legislation.
Okay. Will there be a photo ID on there? I know Senator from the 8th likes that, to make sure photo IDs on everything. I'm sorry.
What has to be on it, Senator, is on page 24 of the bill.
Okay.
It shall specify the name, address, date of birth, gender, height, weight, color of hair, color of eyes, signature of the sheriff, the date of issuance, expiration date, and then it gives the size. So at this, there's no requirement on here. Now, of course, the person is likely to have a driver's license that will have their photo ID on it.
Now,
there's no requirement in this legislation that it has to have a photo ID.
So with your amendment, you're basically removing the Department of Revenue.
That's right.
You basically, what you're saying in this amendment is that I don't want the Department of Revenue involved with the concealed carry process at all.
And we're basically saying that the Sheriff's Department can contain this entire process. That gives us more security in the data.
Okay. That's your concern is that once it goes to the Department of Revenue, then it becomes... That data could go anywhere. You're concerned about where that data goes.
That's what started the whole process, and that's why we asked the senator from the 8th whether we could make this a part of his legislation, because it leads to that same issue.
Where are we concerned that this data is going? Either from a concealed carry person or from anything. Where are we concerned that it's going?
Well, what we're concerned about is the violation of our statutes that it's being retained anywhere.
Okay.
We know that the data resides on a computer... You know, here in Jefferson City right now, all of the data that's being scanned does that. We know a portion of that data is being transmitted to Georgia that's being used for the driver's license. So
okay, that's our vendor that does the driver's license, right?
Pardon?
That's our vendor that currently does
that's
the
correct.
Driver's license.
That's who's actually printing the current driver's licenses and CCWs and then mailing those to the recipient.
Are you concerned that you don't want our vendor to have the... Is that who we don't want to have this data? Our vendor, we don't want them to know that concealed carry people, who that database is?
That wasn't part of my concern, no. That's reasonable concern, but it wasn't part of what was part of my
concern. What is your concern?
Just the data, the collection at all. Right now, that data is gathered and it's held in the Sheriff's Department. What is happening, though, because of the new process of the Department of Revenue, they're scanning the data, and that makes the data... Once it's digital, it can go anywhere, and it's also a whole lot easier to hack or some other way to access it. We've seen that not long ago when an entire city was exposed about who had concealed carry permits because that database had been hacked and that information was... Actually, I think it was gotten through the Freedom of Information Act, probably inappropriately. But that's the kind of thing that we think... would be better managed if the Sheriff's Department was the sole collector of that data.
Okay. I'm still trying to understand where the concern of where the data would go. Because, you know, you could...
Well, there won't be any...
If you don't want the Department of Revenue to have it, and I guess I'm wondering why.
Right. If we have the data collected in the Sheriff's Department, then that does eliminate the concern about the data. So there is no concern at that point. And
there would still be data in the Sheriff's Department, right?
I don't know that I can speak for every one of my constituents about what their concerns are. Some of them have very significant concerns that probably go beyond even my own. Others may not have as many.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Can we get some quiet in the chamber, please?
I would remind my constituents to take your conversations in the side galleries or keep those conversations to a minimum. Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you. Seeking unanimous consent to introduce some special guests, if it's okay with the two senators.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. And I do appreciate you calming the volume down. It was getting a little noisy in here, so thank you for that.
Proceed,
I'd like to introduce a very special guest, Bob Matteo, who is a good friend of mine that I've known for years and years, great family, lived in Warrensburg for a while, now is in Kansas City. He's also a guest of the senator from the 7th, and he's here for Missouri Bankers Association Target Bankers. Bob Matteo.
Would the Missouri Senate make the guest from the senator from Johnson feel welcome today?
Thank you.
Senator from the 11th and Senator from Barton, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I guess I'm trying to figure out your real concern of where you don't want the Department of Revenue to have it. You want the sheriffs to keep that information. But what's the problem with the Department of Revenue having it? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Senator, have you been keeping up with some of the concerns over the Department of Revenue's changes in policies of late and some of the accusations about
I've heard concerns, but I'm wondering what is your concern that has prompted this amendment? That's what I'm trying to understand.
It's those same concerns that once that data is digitized, scanned, which we've not been scanning until just recently, once this entire program was rolled out by the Department of Revenue, and they've been, you know, this came to somewhat of a head when Southeast Missouri, a gentleman went in to have his CCW renewed. And they wanted to scan his documents, and he said, well, according to Missouri law, I don't have to have my documents scanned. We're not supposed to be collecting data. And they said, well, then you can't have your new permit. We won't reissue it. And so that's when he went to a local attorney and got a temporary restraining order against that particular office because they appeared to be in violation of at least two statutes.
Okay.
And so that's what instigated a lot of us looking into this and discovering that although the statutes say this data is not to be collected, it is being collected.
So your concern is that you don't want the Department of Revenue to have this data because they don't follow the law.
If we're not taking the data to the Department of Revenue, then they're not going to collect it, and so we're home free.
But you don't want them to have it because they're not following the law in the first place. Is that basically the concern?
We don't want the data collected. Period. Whoever's responsible.
Okay.
And I think this.
I guess my question
problem.
Is why don't I you want like it collected? Why wouldn't the state? Why don't you want that collected? Is my simple
because
question.
Because the Missourians have expressed in their in our statutes that we don't want that data collected. We
That's
don't want
to
be part of the real ID law.
You don't want it collected because the law says not to collect it.
Right.
And you don't think there's any need to collect it.
Right.
Okay. So if they did collect it.
Do you know why we need to collect it, Senator? I mean, it's your inquiry, but do you know why we need it?
My guess is, because I just got my driver's license renewed. My guess is...
And this doesn't affect the driver's license.
Well, it's all... The question here before us is, can the Department of Revenue scan documents and collect data? That's really the question. Whether it's driver's license or for your amendment... The conceal and carry.
There is certainly that general question. My amendment just deals with the CCWs, which I think
I understand
people hold
that.
Even closer to the vest.
I understand. I guess the purpose of the Department of Revenue collecting data is so they have it. So when I go and renew my driver's license, they can say, oh, yeah, we have a scanned birth certificate or thing, so he doesn't have to show it again. Or if this body, this General Assembly, if somehow we have to go to the Department of Revenue in order to vote in the state, like some bills ask us to do, so we get an ID, we know who people are. That's it. Now, I guess there's been concern that that information would go from the Department of Revenue to someplace else. And I'm wondering if you have that concern.
I'm not sure.
If we had something where the Department of Revenue collected that data and by law, by statute, whatever is appropriate, says that they cannot give that information to anybody. Would that be okay?
If the Department of Revenue promised us that they were going to do the right thing, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
No, because I answer to my constituents, and so they're holding me accountable for that data. That's why I believe it's in the best their best interest for me to hold that Department of Revenue accountable. This simply changes the procedure so that there's no question anymore. There is no room for an error. There is no.
Well, I think there's a concern about getting the data to somebody for some reason, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. And what your amendment says is that we can't track it to the Department of Revenue, but those sheriffs will still have that data. Right?
Right. Sheriffs will have hard copies. They're not, as far as I know, the sheriffs are, none of them are scanning the data. So they're not turning it into electronic.
But what are they scanning? When I get a concealed carry, I have to give them some information, right?
Right.
I have to give them a fingerprint, don't I? I have to go through a background check.
Right.
I mean, there is significant data that these folks are getting that is going somewhere.
Well, it's going into the files in the sheriff's department.
Well, there's got to be a criminal background,
right.
Before you get concealed carry. That has to go to some law enforcement somewhere, right?
Right. They get validation from the law enforcement that they cleared the background check.
I guess do you have concern for that? Do you have concern that I put
are
my
you,
fingerprint,
Senator,
my fingerprint's going everywhere?
Are you concerned with doing it in the county? Or are you concerned about taking responsibility away from the Department of Revenue?
I'm not concerned that we collect data. I'm concerned what we do with the data. That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, and I agree
and
with
so,
that concern.
And so I guess what I'm wondering about your amendment is we make it to where the Department of Revenue cannot collect this anymore, and I want to know why. I would rather see something that says you can collect it, but you can't give it out to anybody.
Well, we did that already, Senator.
Well,
we said you can't collect it.
Your point is they haven't been following that, right?
We said you can't collect it. So they can't give it to anybody if they don't collect. But now they're collecting it. Now they're scanning the data.
And to me, Senator, that is the problem.
Right, and that's what the
Senator problem is not that they have it. The problem is they're not following what we ask them to do.
Right, but and this, I think,
your amendment takes it even further off by having them not collect it at all.
Exactly. That should solve the problem.
Well, it doesn't solve the problem, because what if the sheriffs do something
along
with it?
Along with the Senator from the 8th, it does, I think. I mean, his bill is addressing the problem that you're describing. All I do is take the concealed carry and just simply give it to the county, which okay. I'm happy with the county doing that. I'm happy with the sheriffs doing that. They're elected officials. They're accountable to their constituents. Okay. I think it's a good place to do it.
Okay, what about any constituents say they really like the idea of having that concealed carry designation on their driver's license?
I'll say
that will. Is there any constituents who are concerned they really like to have that distinction of concealed carry on the driver's license that won't happen anymore, will it?
That's correct. That will no longer
be.
Is
there anybody concerned about that? Some people have concealed carry. They like it on their driver's license. They want people to know.
I haven't heard from anybody, but I don't know how many people know about this amendment. So.
I mean, I say that, and there may
course,
not be.
I
haven't heard anyone who says I love it on the driver's license.
Well, this
would
have to go through the hearing process in the House, and so we could find out there if there is something.
Okay. All right, Senator, that's it. I just wanted to try to understand a little bit, and I'd like to know, maybe I'll ask when we get to the bill, where the concern that we collect the data. Where are we concerned that it's going to go? And I guess my point, and I'll bring this up at the Senator for the 8th, we're collecting data all the time and all over the place. You know, Senator, when you get a professional registration, like I have a real estate license, I got to do my fingerprint on that. Did you know that?
Right.
I mean, we're getting information all over the place. And if the Department of Revenue didn't follow the statute, that's a problem. They didn't follow the law. And we got to make sure that everyone follows what they're supposed to do with personal information of our constituents. And I think this may take it too far gone. So I appreciate the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the maker of the amendment.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I appreciate this amendment. I support your amendment. I wanted to maybe look at this from a little bit different angle than the line of inquiry that you just had. And that is, just from a standpoint of the convenience to our constituents. And I really don't know the answer to this question. I'm wondering, do you know, is there any other, whether it would be a license or anything like that, that the general public goes and gets where they have to first go to one particular entity of government and get, like they do from the sheriff's office, they have to get the concealed carry endorsement and then take it over to DOR. I mean, is there anything else that we do that for? I don't think there is. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's not, but I'd hate for something to sneak up on.
Well, I can't think of any in terms of a state agency a governmental agency to a governmental agency. Obviously, in the license process, we make that as difficult as we can with inspections and other things that you have to go do. But I don't know about one agency to another agency. I can't think of one, Senator.
Yeah, I don't want to act like I'm an authority on that. But, you know, as we've gone through this process, one of the things that I've begun to think about in my mind is, you know, it's terribly inconvenient for our constituents to have to go to the sheriff's office. Well, of course, you know, first they have to go and take the class. Okay.
They
have to be educated on how to exercise a right that's
I think the class is kind of fun, Senator. But.
Yeah, well, anyway. So, you know, there are some of us who find it interesting that we have to go to a class.
Right, that's right.
And learn how to exercise a right that's guaranteed to us. Anyway, that's a whole discussion for a different day. But so they go and they take the class, and then after the class, they have to take their certificate from the class to the sheriff, right, at which point the sheriff will fingerprint them and do several different things, background checks, et cetera, and then however many number of days later, the sheriff will give them their endorsement, right?
Yes.
And then they have to take that.
Right.
Think about the size of some of our counties, right?
Right.
They have to take that from the sheriff's office to, their license office and go through that.
And used to, a few months ago, once you did that, at least you got your certificate that day. You got your card that day. You gave your information to the DOR.
At the license office.
And they printed it out and handed it to you, and you walked out with your CCW.
Right, right. So I just...
Now it has to be mailed off, and you have to wait for it to be returned.
Right, right. Well, and I'm just thinking from the standpoint of, obviously, I support your amendment, but even just from the standpoint of convenience to our constituents...
I think it's a good point.
Why do we have to make them do these additional steps? Why can't we just streamline it as much as possible so that the convenience factor is better? Sure. And then there's also the idea of not, you know, having to have their information collected through some other entity on top of an entity that's already collected it, you know. And to the senator's point concerning real estate agents, the fact that real estate agents have to give a fingerprint is just, to me, an anathema. I mean, that's just craziness, right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to fix that as well, but that's a discussion for a different day. And so anyway, I wanted to let you know that I support your amendment, not only for some of the obvious reasons that we've talked about, but also just from a standpoint of good government making things as convenient as possible.
Good point,
for our
Senator.
Constituents.
I mean,
so
I think we'd always rather not have to make as many stops and go as many places. And I didn't think about that, but you're right.
Well, think of all the things that we do around here without intending to that make the lives of our constituents less convenient, right?
Right.
We're finally about to possibly do something that might make the lives of our constituents a little more convenient.
So I hope so.
I appreciate your amendment.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
Concur with the Senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield to an inquiry? Three senators on the floor. Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, unfortunately, it's becoming the lunch hour. We have committees meeting, so we'd like to lay that bill on the informal calendar.
That bill shall be laid on the informal calendar with the amendment to Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1 pending. Senator from Newton.
Being approved.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of messages from the House of Representatives. I would ask the Secretary please read the message.
Seeing no objection, Madam Secretary, please read the message.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Concurrent Resolution 10. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Concurrent Resolution 25. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Concurrent Resolution 28, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to our business of reports of standing committees.
Hearing no objection, reports of standing committee. You have a report, Senator?
Yes.
Send your report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 159, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds the bill has been truly perfected and the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 297, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. All respectfully submitted, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 297 to the Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight?
That shall be so referred. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to our business of announcements.
Seeing no objection, announcements. Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess till 3 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion for the Senator from Newton. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail. Say aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.